All right, Jamosai, good evening. I'm sorry that we're getting a little bit of a later start tonight, but let's begin. So I want to share with you two pieces from Rabbi Nachman tonight. First, we're going to do a little bit from Pu'ulas HaTzadik. As we start out every week, we're doing a little bit of the Maisim of Rabbi Nachman. The truth is, tonight's Maisim might actually take up the majority of the shir, but you'll see, it'll be worth it. It's quite dramatic. So remember, again, we left off last week with the incredible Maisa regarding the events surrounding the birth, the conception of Rabbi Nachman. The Kiddusha and the Tara, the purity, the holiness that permeated his parents' home when his mother became pregnant with him on that Shabbos night. And from there we begin. So take a look, it's paragraph Chav Dalet. Bayami Mahim, did I Xerox the wrong page here?
What page is in there? Rabbi?
Give me 1 second. You know what? Yeah, I Xeroxed the wrong. I'm sorry. So, all right, part of it, I'm just going to have to read Baal Peh because actually I was supposed to Xerox page. I'm sorry. I apologize. Page. So it's going to be section Yud Tes. I'll give it to you next week in Meretz Hashem. So just listen. You'll hear this outside. The Choyim Me'ibura Haisa Regila Lava Atzion Shal Zekein Nahabal Shem Tov Hakadosh Sosi Agen Aleinu. So all the days that Fega is Rabbi Nachman's mother, the granddaughter of the Baal Shem Tov Hakadosh. All the days that she was pregnant, she used to go every day to the grave of her grandfather. Now, of course, what's very intriguing about this is there's a very strong minhag Yisrael that pregnant women don't go to cemeteries. So, you know, I don't know exactly how to understand this. I thought maybe part of it is like this. You know, there's an interesting discussion. We had this on our Yarchei Kala trip about whether or not Kohanim are permitted to go, like to Kever Rachel, to Marasa Machpelah, to graves of Tzadikim. So Rabbi Zvi Machlokes Aposkim, the Pischei Tshuva in Yeradeya discusses the idea that Kohanim are permitted to go to the graves of Tzadikim. For one simple reason, because Kivrei Tzadikim ain't a metamin. Pischei Tshuva quotes an opinion that says the graves of Tzadikim are not metamin. It's almost like when one lived such an elevated life that they refined their guf, they refined their body. So even after a person dies, the body doesn't transmit tumah. There's such a concept like that by tzaddikim. So it could be that this is what's happening over here also, that the Baal Shem Tov's granddaughter felt her grandfather such a great tzaddik that to go to his grave was not a problem. Either way, she went. Ubach sasham harbi ma'od ma'od. She cried there a lot. Vispalala al vlada shimu barasimo. And every day she used to cry for her baby, for the welfare of her baby. Every day she used to daven, ultimately again, for the health of her child. And the Baal Shem Tov's granddaughter Fega would spend hours and hours by the grave davening special kavanas. It's actually quite amazing. So he writes over here that she used to say that about those days when she was pregnant and davening by the grave of her grandfather, it's difficult to describe the incredible clarity and uplifting nature that she experienced over those days. Acholiva, Vavlad Hazel Hayu Rabbeinuzal. The baby, ultimately again, was Rabbi Nachman, and Rabbi Nachman is born Venolad Barash Chodesh Nisan, Tav Kuf Lamed Beis. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov is born on Rosh Chodesh Nisan in the year Tav Kuf Lamed Beis, which again is the year 1772. So Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, born to his mother Fega, granddaughter of the Baal Shem Tov, he's a great grandson of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh.
Geographically, all this lineage was located in close proximity to each other for Fega.
Yeah, it's all in Mezhbiz, in the city of Mezhbiz, which is in Poland.
Okay.
Oh, right, Russia. Correct. So, paragraph Chav, you don't have this yet. I'll be up to what you have in just a moment. Hey, Nisan, Tafkof Lamed Beis. The Shabbos called this Parashas Metzorah. So the following Shabbos, the 8th of Nisan, remember, Rabbi Nachman is born Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the 8th of Nisan, Parashas Metzorah, Shahaisa Ga'az Gam Shabbos HaGadol. So this is quite amazing. Rabbi Nachman is born on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. His bris is on Shabbos HaGadol. Nichnas bevisal Avram Avinu alav shalom benikra shmo Nachman. And his name was Nachman. Why did they name him Nachman? So we know why. Al shem zekeno avi aviv Rabbi Nachman Haridenker. Because remember, again, he was named after his grandfather, Rabbi Nachman Haridyanker, who was the prized pupil, the prized disciple of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. So here you have again Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, a great grandson of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, named after Rabbi Nachman Haridenker, who was the Talmid Mufok, the primary disciple of the Baal Shem Tov. Okay, now you have Chaf Aleph. Ubishas Habris. This is actually quite amazing as well. Ubishas Habris. Ukriyas Hashem. Ana dodo hatzadik hakadosh rebaruch mi'meshbiz. So at the time of the bris, Rabbi Nachman's uncle, Rav Baruch of Meshbiz, said the following: Nachman, al shem ze yinachamenu mima'asenu umeitzvon yadenu min ha'adama asher erora Hashem. So his uncle, so Rabbi Nachman's uncle, Rav Baruch of Meshbiz, said at the bris that his parents named him Nachman. Now you have to understand something. In general, there's a feeling that when parents name a child, they are given a degree of Ruach HaKodesh. They're given a degree of prophecy. Because you have to understand, the great, awesome responsibility of naming a child is, I have to give my child a name that captures their entirety of their essence. There's only one problem, which is, I know the kid from a boy, maximum, right, 8 days, a girl, it could be even a couple of hours, and I'm supposed to give my child a name that captures the totality of their essence. So how is one able to accomplish that? The only one who can really accomplish that is with Ruach HaKodesh. Parent gets a certain degree of Ruach HaKodesh, a certain degree of prophecy to be able to name their child in the correct way. So here, Rabbi Nachman's uncle, Rav Baruch of Meshbiz, said, oh, he had such Ruach HaKodesh when you named this child. You thought you were naming him after his aid, after his grandfather. But in reality, his name corresponds to the pasuk at the end of Bereishis, which also, of course, is the pasuk ultimately by Noach. It says, Zeh Yinachamenu, when referring to the birth of Noach, Noach will console us from our negative acts and from the earth that we have cursed. In other words, Rav Baruch of Meshbiz understood that the birth of this nephew, the birth of this boy, the birth of the great-grandson of Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, was no ordinary event. Something spectacular was unfolding on the greater landscape of the world. V'darshu mizeh chazal akdoshim, tzadik bali olam, tova bali olam. When a tzadik comes to the world, good comes to the world. Listen to this. V'niksha elav imo v'amra. So Rabbi Nachman's mother went over to Rav Baruch of Meshbiz. Remember, Rav Baruch of Meshbiz is the uncle of Rabbi Nachman. So the mother of Rabbi Nachman goes over to her brother, Rav Baruch of Meshbiz, V'amr Bruchel. So Baruchel, she called him Baruchel, right? Can you imagine calling her Baruch of Meshbiz, Baruchel? I guess if you're a sister, you could call him Baruchel. What does she say? If you look in it says in the Hebrew translation in Beis, Te'achalo shelo yechalku alov. She said, give my son a bracha. Give my son a bracha that people shouldn't argue with him. Now what does that mean? What was the mother asking? Give my son a bracha that he shouldn't have machlokes in his life. Right? After all, at the end of the day, what does a mother want most for her child? She wants her child to be safe, to be secure, to be happy. So Baruchel, my brother, Baruchel Meshbiz, the great tzaddik, just daven for my son that he shouldn't have people who make his life difficult. Shouldn't have people ultimately again who are cholik on him. So what happens? So veheishav la'atzadik hakadosh Reb Baruch. So Reb Baruch measures response to his sister Fegala. He says again, my sister Fegala zelo. If you look in paragraph Gimel, zelo yachol lihios zekvar avud muchrochim lachlok alof. And Reb Baruch of Meshbiz says back to his sister Fegala, the mother of Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. What a nice thought that he's not going to encounter machlokes. But it doesn't work that way. Rabosai, you know the only people who don't encounter machlokes? The only way, what's the surefire way not to encounter machlokes? Right, I'm sorry? Don't be a leader. Don't be a leader. And don't try to accomplish anything big. So meaning, if you're kind of willing to live life beneath the radar, then you could go ahead and avoid machlokes. But if you're going to be a leader, you're going to try to accomplish great things, inevitably, you will encounter resistance. Well, it's a very important yisod. People sometimes think that resistance is demonstrative of the fact that I'm going on the wrong derech. I'm not meaning, if this was really the right thing to do, then it should be easy. We don't believe that in Yiddishkeit. We often believe that where there is resistance, often that's a sign that I'm on the right path. Right? Resistance means something beautiful, something holy is about to come, and I have to fight my way through to the finish line. So here, Fega asks her saintly brother for a blessing for her newborn son. Please, give him a bracha that he shouldn't encounter machlokes. Rabbi Baruch HaMeshba is saying, it's too late. It's too late. This boy is marked for greatness. When you're marked for greatness, you're going to be surrounded by machlokes. Imo haisa ba'alas ruach ha-kodesh, v'hayu achea korim la Fegula dinivieso. So again, Fega herself was a great woman, a balas ruach ha-kodesh, and her brothers used to call her Fegula, the prophetess. Chav beis. Imo atadekes maras Fega, shamra alav ma'od. It's just beautiful just to see, ultimately, again, like the care. You know, we said this last week, how we spoke about like the Kedusha in Tara, in which Rabbi Nachman was conceived, and the idea that even the way a child is conceived impacts the child's Kedusha. How you raise a child, the atmosphere, the exposures, and this is true, you know, like Lahavda Elef Ave Rivi Avdolos. You know, sometimes you hear this craziness that, like, you know, a pregnant woman's gonna put, you know, like Mozart, you know, she's gonna put the earphones on her stomach and Mozart. So that's silliness. But on a ruchni level, we absolutely believe that you have the ability to go ahead and impact the neshama of a child even before a child comes into this world. That's why the manner in which a child is conceived has to be b'kedusha b'tahara. The way the home is set up has to be b'kedusha b'tahara, holiness and purity. The way parents interact even around the baby, who you think can't speak, can this, that, child absorbs everything. So look what he writes. Imo tzadek es mar sfega, shamalav ma'od. Tego was very careful. Where little Nachman, v'haiser, listen to how beautiful this is. V'haiser regila lahavio el tzion zekina v'ashem tevakalish im ha'arisa shalom. She used to bring Rabbi Nachman in his bassinet to the grave of the v'ashem tevakalish. Meaning, she wanted her son to have a connection with the neshama of his great grandfather, even before the child could fully understand. She brought his cradle to the grave. And what happens? And she davened all the time for the success of her child. Let's say, you know, there's nothing more powerful. You know, in general, the tefillos of a parent are very powerful, but the truth is the tefillos of a mother are the most powerful. Nothing is like the tefillah of a mother. Tefillah of a mother just carries a different weight, klapi shmaya. So you can imagine this scene. What does Fega want? All Fega wants is for a child to be a tzaddik. She understands it's so difficult to become a tzaddik. It's so difficult to become righteous. So she's davening every single day with him by the tzion of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. Vayirabeinu Zal, listen to this, how beautiful this is. Vayirabeinu Zal, Rabbi Nachman always had incredible gratitude for his mother all of the years of his life for this. This is amazing. We'll learn about this later on. Rabbi Nachman said that when I leave this world and you want to invoke my memory as a zechus, remember me by my mother's name. Nachman ben Fega. Remember me as Nachman ben Fega. Why? It's pretty amazing. Even though normally, again, a person is remembered by their father's name, Rabbi Nachman clearly attributed much of his spiritual success in his very short life to the Messias Nefesh, to the sacrifice, to all the effort that his mother put into him. We'll do one more paragraph and then we'll stop. Chav Gimel. Ba'avirazu, hischilu yimei chayiv hakdoshim. It was in this atmosphere that the holy life of Rabbi Nachman began. Lo ra v'lo shama kim kedusha v'tara. Rabbi Nachman's life was a cocoon of holiness. Mitzad echad, Dveikus Avid B'Shem Hashem Yisbarach. So on one hand, he saw his father, the great Dveikus, the great, remember, his father was Simcha, the great holiness of, remember, Simcha is the son of Rav Nachman Haridanker. So he saw the great holiness of his father, Simcha, Umitzat Sheni Imo B'Tfil Kaddish. So on one hand, he saw the holiness of his father. On the other hand, he saw the incredible tefillos, and this is interesting, the commitment of his mother to go ultimately again to the grave of his grandfather, Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. I'm both saying, I just want to tell you something. The reason we do some of these stories is A, because they're just fascinating, B, because they're inspiring, and C, because you learn a lot from Chassidus HaMaislach. You have to understand, what Chassidus understood is that sometimes you could learn much more from a story than just a simple written or stated lesson. It's like, what do you learn? learn from the Sarebos. You know what's striking to me? So here, Rabbi Nachman says, Rabbi Nachman reflecting on his life, because remember, Pulas HaTzadik is the way Rabbi Nachman retold the events of his growing up. So Rabbi Nachman says, when I think about, again, my holiness, when I think about my ability to spiritually accomplish and why I was able to do what I was able to do, I attribute it to two primary things. Number one, I always saw my father's dvekus. I saw my father's learning. I saw my father's davening. I saw my mother's tfilos. And I saw her constant presence by the grave of my Alter Zayde, my great-grandfather, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. We'll say, what's amazing? What doesn't Rabbi Nachman say? I'm sorry? First of all, he doesn't say his own accomplishments. That's the born of humility. Also, what's also very striking is, he doesn't talk about what his parents said to him or what lessons his parents imparted onto him. What made the greatest roshim on Rabbi Nachman?
The actions.
He says, it's incredible you saw it in parenting. Our children remember very little of what we say, but they remember virtually everything we do. Isn't it incredible? So we all know this just growing up as parents. The truth is, how many of us can remember? Maybe we remember like a handful of parental adages that our parents used to say that we ignored when we were young, right? We probably still ignore them now also, but at some point in time we'll realize the wisdom in them. But more than that, the greatest impact a parent can have on a child is when a parent models the right behavior. Isn't it incredible? So a child sees a parent getting up to learn. A child sees a parent going to daven. A child sees a parent making brachas, reciting bench with kavod, doing chesed, giving tzedakah, getting home for Shabbos in time. And we'll say, it's just a simple thing. You know that children's conceptions of Shabbos are formulated by their parents, right? If I run into Shabbos, literally into the 18 minutes, and I'm huffing, and I'm puffing, and I'm schwitzing, and all this stuff, you understand, like, the message that sends to my child is, I guess Shabbos is something you could push the line on, you could push the border on. Now, I might have a very good reason why I'm racing against the clock, but Lamais, at the end of the day, it's these little actions that have the greatest impact. So here, I'm sure Reb Simcha said many things, and I'm sure Fega said many things, but that Rabbi Nachman remembered most is not what his parents said, but instead, what his parents did. Incredible you said. So let's spend a few minutes just on a piece on the Omer. Page was this? Sorry. Okay, Reish Nun Zayin. So we're just going to start this piece tonight. I know we're already going a little bit late, but we'll start it for a few minutes because this is really an exceptionally beautiful piece, which actually will continue into next week as well. So the title of this piece is Gilei HaTorah Be'ava Aydei Rabbi Shimon B'Tam HaSimcha Gidol Anas Yom Tirasa. So we're going to start tonight learning a little bit about Lag Ba'Omer, even though Lag Ba'Omer is next week. But what we're really going to focus on is the idea that Lag BaOmer is a day of Simcha, which intuitively, the Simcha of Lag BaOmer is not immediately clear. Often we link it to the death of Rabbi Akiva's or the cessation of the death of Rabbi Akiva's students, but that by itself is a little bit strange, right? Because cessation of their death is nice, but a cessation of the death is not Rabbi Akiva a reason to start celebrating. So look at this first piece. We know that the students of Rabbi Akiva died between Pesach and Shavuos on the days of Sfira. These students of Rabbi Akiva were great tzaddikim. And remember, their mandate, their job, was to perpetuate the Torah that they received from Rabbi Akiva, their Rebbe. Remember, Rabbi Akiva had the status of Moshe Rabbeinu. He goes on, he says, Kimuva b'svarim al-pasuk v'lo kam novi od kimoshe. Novi lo kam. It's true, there was never a prophet like Moshe, but aval chacham kam. But there was a chacham who did exist, who was as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. And who was that? Umanu Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was the chacham who was as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. Vegam b'ninachos om Rabbi Sezer Chon Levracha, otsem gidlas Rabbi Akiva, ad shemoshe lo yod lahasik toroso. It was the famous Ma'aseh Menachos, where Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Shamayim and he asks for entry into the Yeshiva Shalmala. And what happens? He goes ahead and he sees in the Yeshiva Shalmala that they're darshaning, and Moshe Rabbeinu can't understand any of the things they're saying. Now, the reason Moshe Rabbeinu can't understand is because they were darshaning all of Torah Shabbat Pad, the oral law, which got a little bit convoluted as time went on. Moshe Rabbeinu had absolute clarity. And Rabbi Akiva is there in the Beis Din Shlomo, the Yeshiva Shlomo, and he's darshaning. And Moshe Rabbeinu was so taken by this personality of Rabbi Akiva that he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should have given the Torah through that guy. Why did you give it to him? You should have given it to him. So let's do one more paragraph. He says, "V'ikir ha'pegam shel tamid Rabbi Akiva." So we'll say, so the shaila is obvious, which is students of Rabbi Akiva. If Rabbi Akiva was so great, and literally again, although he wasn't a Navi like Moshe, he was a Chacham like Moshe, how could it be that his students, who must have been pious individuals as well, how could it be that they died out in mass during such a small period of time? So says Rabbi Nachman, the pegam, the deficiency, the mistake of the students of Rabbi Akiva, shalo haisa beinehem ahava v'hischabus. Well, so you know what their problem was? They didn't have love and connection between them. Kimo sha'amur Rabbi Sinai Zichron Levracha, ki heim hayu tzrichem raham shech Torah, ulatakein tzimtzumim v'keilim, sheyisku kol b'Yisrael l'kabal or ha'ein sof karoi. We'll say, what's the job of a Talmud Chacham? This is very important to you. So what is the job of a Talmud Chacham? The job of a Talmud Chacham is not simply to learn Torah. The job of the Talmud Chacham is through his avoda, through his service, he makes Klal Yisrael a kli, a utensil, that is capable of receiving Shefa, that is capable of receiving divine energy and divine blessing. Let me illustrate this for just a moment. So, you know, the Sefer HaChinuch discusses this idea. I'll give you just a contemporary marshal. You know, they have those coffee cups that you could buy with the coil inside. You know, if you're a slow coffee drinker. So it's a great chap. It keeps your coffee hot, right? Am I making this up? You know about this? Guys should get out much more. So they're too sheltered. Right? So this comes, they keep your coffee. So imagine the following idea. So you go to the store, and normally I wouldn't buy it. It's a bit expensive. But it happens today, I go to the store, and mamish, it's on the clearance rack. Givaldic. So I'm ready to buy the coffee mug. And I open it up and I realize, oh, now why is it on the clearance rack? So I see there's a tiny hole on the bottom of the mug. Mug is perfect, just a tiny little hole on the bottom of it. So of course, very nice. I'm happy it has the coils. I'm happy it keeps the coffee warm. But there's no toiletless in the cup if the contents are going to drip out. So Sefer HaChinuch says, same thing in Klal Yisrael. The Ribono Shel Olam wants to give us so much bracha. God wants to give us so much good. But in order to be able to receive and retain the good, I have to be a keli. I have to be a utensil. If I am a broken utensil, if I've got a big hole on the bottom, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu could pour in as much bracha as he wants. But what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Simply going to flow out. It's a very incredible yisod in life. If you think about it, it's a very powerful metaphor. My goal is to make myself into a keli, make myself into a kli, make myself into a utensil that's whole, capable of receiving and retaining divine blessing. The job of a Talmud Chacham, the job of a Torah scholar, is through his learning, through his chesed, through his love for every Jew, he has the great privilege of not just making himself into a utensil, but making the klal into a utensil as well.
So in other words, it becomes incestuous?
It becomes...
Which means that we absorb it as a mass if a Talmidim...
Correct. Talmud Chacham has the ability, essentially, to do for us what we would normally be obligated to do for ourselves. He has the ability to lift us up and to make us into a kli. But I will say, how does the Talmud Chacham accomplish that? Rabbi Nachman says, he accomplishes it through Torah, he accomplishes it through his learning, he accomplishes it through his chesed. Most importantly, he accomplishes it through his love for every Jew. See what I will say? The more Torah you have, the more love you should have for your fellow Jew. Sometimes more Torah makes people less loving, which means that at the end of the day, they're not absorbing the Torah correctly. The more Torah, the more love. The problem with the students of Rabbi Akiva, he says, Ki al yidei kol os v'diber uparashat ha'kdosha, v'al yidei kol halacha v'halacha, na'asim kelim v'tzitzum l'kavel ora imso. Because we'll say, when the Talmud Chacham has great love for Klal Yisrael, then every little piece of Torah becomes another piece of that kli, becomes another piece of that utensil that is able to receive and retain holiness for Klal Yisrael. L'galus ma'chuso yisbach ba'olam, kimuvan ba'atorah, Mishra des Akino B'Shaim Mekomos. So we'll say, so now we begin to understand, we're going to stop over here for tonight, but now I begin to understand what was the chait of the students of Rabbi Akiva. See, I both said the problem, because you know the Gemara says Shelo Nagu Kavod Zelazeh, they didn't honor each other enough. So what does that mean? Rabbi Nachman says it's much more fundamental. They didn't love each other enough. See, I both said it's possible, by the way, that it's possible that they were respectful to each other, and it's also that they were even nice to each other. You know what the problem was? They didn't love each other. You see, it's not just enough to be nice to your fellow Jew, and it's not just enough not to mistreat your fellow Jew. You mamish have to love your fellow Jew. That's the ahavta l're'acha kamocha. And says Rabbi Nachman, we'll expound on this more next week, that was the mistake, whereas the students of Rabbi Akiva, through their love, could have made the entire clout into the keli, into the utensil, capable of receiving divine blessing. That lack of love brought down the klal, and that by bringing down the klal, ultimately they brought down themselves as well. All right, so we'll stop over here. Mir Tashem, we'll pick up on the bottom of Reish Nazani Mir Tashem next week. Shkoyah.